Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Jesus Christ. He is a native
of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem, over 2,000 light years ago. He's no longer in the manger, but he is sitting in his heavenly dominions, not in the rear, not on the left. He's not in the middle, but he's sitting on the right-hand side of his Father, looking over the good and the not-so-good. God is not alarmed about what is taking place down here on planet Earth. For all that is going on has his signature on it. His penmanship has been noted. So he's not impressed. He's not alarmed. But whatever is going on is under his direction and under his watchful eye. So just be encouraged and know that God has your back. He has your front. He has your center. And he has your side. And so you just know that nothing can happen to you and I and us that our God cannot handle. Hallelujah. So I want you once again to bow your heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come in this new year, God. Hallelujah. We yet have a grateful heart, God, of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination, God. We know that you have lying in waiting, God, a place that's not built by mortal man, but you are the architect and you are the creator. Till you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continue to mount up, hallelujah, from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. And I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lifts of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. We'll be so mindful, God, to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God and his people say, amen and amen. I just thank God for allowing us to come on into this new year, hallelujah, without incident. And we know that the enemy is still on the attack, but like I said, we know that God is sitting high and he's looking low. And he has his angelic angels out on their designated post, hallelujah, watching over you and I. So just know that you are in good hands with Jesus Christ, hallelujah. You are in good hands. There's no greater hands that anyone could be in this day and time than to be in the hands of a mighty, omnipotent, all-power God. Hallelujah. So right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you live to a program that's already in progression. And our sermon on tonight entitled Running from God. I want to say that one more time. Tonight's sermon entitled Running from God. And we're going to take our first key scripture, and it's coming out of the law of Jonah, hallelujah, 1 and 3. And it reads like this. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to ask you on tonight, how many of you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight that are running from God? God has been trying to get a hold to you on the spiritual. We're talking about the spiritual realm of God. God has been trying to get a hold to you. He's been trying to talk with you. When you catch you alone and no one's around, God has been wanting to talk with you, but you have been busy. You have been just running from God. And God is just wanting to talk with you, to let you know that whatever you're going through, that you are not alone, that you can trust God. God's word says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. So before God start to go to lying, which we know God is not going to ever lie, but just suppose that God would tell something that wasn't true, I want to tell you this, first and foremost, that heaven and earth will remove itself from its foundations. It would go and empty itself on into the sea before one jot, J-O-T, of God's word returned back to him, V-O-I-D, void. So we know that God is a holy and righteous God. He's omnipotent power. He's all power. There's no greater power than the power that God holds. Hallelujah. We're talking about running from God. Why do you suppose that people run away from God? Is it because of anger? Could it be because of disappointment or despair, disobedient? Or could it be just a web of rebellious movements from our own desires? We find out that the book of Jonah looks at a prophet who rejected God's call to deliver his word to the people of Nineveh. And we find out that in the first chapter, 3 and 10, that we read that Jonah deliberately headed for Tarshish to run away from the Lord. But he knew exactly where he was going and why. But after being given a second chance, Jonah delivered God's message, but reacted angrily when the Lord spared the repentant city. And so I want to ask again, are you running from God? And if you're running from God, I would just encourage you to stop running and see what God, what it is he want to talk with you about. Because whatever, like I first stated, whatever you're going through, there's nobody greater that can handle your problem and everybody's problem at the same magnitude time. Is God. God can answer my prayers, yours, and the whole universal at the same time. God will not put you in our own hole. He will not put us on three-way. He will not tell us, listen, my daughter Janice, I'm going to call you back because I'm talking to my other daughter. I'm talking to my other son on the other line. So I will call you back. Or better yet, let me just click over, and I'll put you on hold. For God can talk to you and I and us at the same time. You wonder, why can God do that, Overseer Ward? I'm here to encourage you that God can do that because he is omnipotent power. He is a spiritual power. When God walked this earth over 2,000 light years ago, he came in human form. He came in flesh. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word dwelt among us. So we know that in the beginning was God, and God was in human form. But yet, right now, God is spiritual, and he's sitting in the heavenly realms or the heavenly dominions. Hallelujah. of his kingdom. And so you need to find out what it is that God is wanting to talk with you about. Because whatever it is pertinent, it's very urgent that God get a hold to you. You know, we don't know what God wants with us, but it's for us to stop and be still and allow God to come and talk with you and us, because it will save us, maybe from death, hell, and the grave. We don't know. Maybe something he's talking about our children, to save them from the devil's clutches, from, you know, getting mixed in with the wrong crowd, getting introduced to booze and drug and alcohol, whiskey and wine, and could be a number of things. But whatever it is, it behooves you and I to stop and listen to what God has to say to you and I. Maybe that you've been out there in the world for a long time and you don't know God, have not been introduced to God, wasn't able to go to church as a young lad or a young girl, but you've gotten grown and you're adult, you have a family, you know, and so you would like to know about God, but you just don't know how. But I want to encourage you on today is just slow down and get into your quiet space in your home and allow God to talk with you. God is a loving God. He loves you. God don't want to hurt you. God just wants to love on you. And he wants to love all of your aches and your ills and your pains away. God wants to be the one that come to your rescue. If you need a financial deliverance, God can be that financial deliverer. If you're looking for a nice man to marry, God will bless you with a nice husband. Or you're looking for that ideal wife that loves the Lord, then God can bless you with a wife. If you desire to have children and you haven't been able to conceive, God can heal your wounds and allow you to be able to give birth to your first child, may it be son or daughter. You might need, hallelujah, just encouragement. I'm here to encourage you that God is an encourager. And God will love to encourage you to depend on him. See, I found out early on in life that God is a jealous God. God don't want us to get hooked on, they say, you know, there was a program saying hooked on phonics. But God don't want us to get hooked on nothing. May it be our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our grandparents, our niece, our nephews, our cousins, our boss man, our insurance man, our care provider, our doctor, our nurse, our practitioners. God do not want us to get hooked on anybody, but he want us to get hooked on him, and everything will begin to fall into its proper perspective. Once we take our eyes off of our problems and put our eyes on God. God said, those who keep their mind stayed on me, I will keep them in perfect peace. So God will keep you in perfect peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. God is want you to know that he is the go-to man. God owns Dow Jones, all the stock markets, all the financial institutes, institutional banks and loans. Companies or establishments. God owns all the currency, all the jewels, the diamonds, the gold bars, silver, all the houses and lands and cars. God owns them all. So whatever that you need, God has it. You don't have to look any further, because God has every iota thing that you will ever need in this life and the life to come. God wants you just to stop what you are doing and to allow him to come in and sit down with you and sup with you. That means talk with you and you with him. And you can lay all your burdens, lay all your heavy loads of care upon Jesus. For Jesus care for you. God no longer wants you to be running. He don't want you to be running for the devil, to be on the devil's hit list. But God wants you to be on his list of a disciple. God wants you to be on his list to preach his gospel, to evangelize, a prayer warriors. Hallelujah. God wants you to run to him and not run away from him, but to run to him with all your aches and your ills, hallelujah, and your pain and your sorrow, hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So the book ends with the Lord speaking to Jonathan about his compassion. Should I not pity Nineveh? But there is no indication that the disgruntled prophet changed his attitude. Hallelujah. The people of Nineveh repented. The Bible says Jonah did not. But the story of Jonah should cause you and I, us, to be honest about our feelings toward the Lord. And if you have any resentment to God, may you have lost a loved one. May you have lost a spouse, a wife, or a son or daughter, niece or nephew, grandchild, cousin that was near and dear to your heart. It's a way that you can approach God. You can't, you know, go blaming God or go to God being disrespectful and out of line. But you can go to God in a respectful manner as you would your loving mother or your loving father, because God is a spiritual mother and father to each and every one of us. God loves each and every one of us, and he proved it on Calvary Mountain over 2,000 light years ago. Jesus went to the cross to prove his love for you and I. So like I said, you can be honest about your feelings with God. But I want to ask you, are you harboring any resentment for his leniency toward people that we feel deserve judgment? Have you forgotten that God has forgiven you and I and us? Are you ready to obey his call and leave all your worries and the rest to him? Hallelujah. We know that the story of Jonathan, it eliminates our reaction to God and measures our willingness to trust him when we can't understand his ways. You know, it's no way that you and I could ever understand God, because God said in his word that your ways is not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Me and you can be thinking one way and Jesus thinking 339 million zillions different, because he's an omnipotent God. Our brains would explore, even trying to even figure God out. So we don't try to figure God out. We just say, yes, God, to your will, yes, to your way. Whatever you want me to do, God, for you, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. We know that in this world in which we're living, it is so much going on. Hallelujah. And sometime it might be hard for you to trust the Lord when you don't understand. But you can fight the urge to run from Him and reach out and take His hand, because you know it pleases God. It pleases Him the best when we trust Him the most. So you know, there's old saying, say we got to trust God when we can't trace Him. We got to trust God. Hallelujah. We know that in our increasingly dangerous world in which we live, we think of what we have to fear, may it be terror and threat, frightening crime, increasing natural disaster, sovereign energy crisis. Hallelujah. We know that God, ironic, is that it's full of a fretful things, that the single source of our refuge and our safety is in the Lord. And the one we are instructed to fear. We can't conserve Solomon's words. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And His children will have a place of refuge. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Proverbs 14 and 26. Then you can look at the next verse. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. We try to avoid life fearful things because they interrupt our peace. Yet we are told to move toward fear, the fear of God. For those who fear the Lord, He is their help and their shield. We know that our faith in God can deliver you and I and us from the fear of the world. In the law of Psalms 23 and 4. But only because our faith relies on a fear that is different from the worldly fears. Going to the law of Proverbs 29 and 25 says that the fear of man bring a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. So you don't have to run from God any longer. God is not the one that you should be fearful of as far as running from Him. But the devil is the one that we all should be running from and should be running toward God. Because the Bible tells us, hallelujah, that the devil's M.O. and his motive of operation, 24/7, 365 days out of a year. See, our adversary, which is Satan, Lucifer, he doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take a leave of absence. He don't even take a rest. You know, when you're on your job, you have a 30-minute lunch break. Sometime you have an hour. Then you'll have a 15-minute break. Well, Lucifer don't take breaks. He don't take lunch time. He don't take vacations. But his M.O. is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And on the other hand, he wants to destroy you. And not only you, but your loved ones, your friends, your constituents, those that are near and dear to your heart, those in your family circle, in your surroundings. The devil wants to uproot their happy home. See, he's a home wrecker. He's a disturbance in your home. He'll bring disturbance where there is peace. He'll uproot the household. You have each one, you know, just fighting with one another. out to kill one another, because that is his job. That's his motive, is to steal, kill, and destroy. So we should be running to God, running from Satan and running to God versus running from God. And that is our sermon on tonight, is running from God. And there was a man in the Bible by the name of Jonathan that tried to flee to Tarshish from the prison of the Lord. So we have some eyewitnesses in the temple. Hallelujah. But God wants to save you from yourself. If nothing else, God wants you to save you from yourself. So if I was you tonight, I wouldn't run anymore. I'd tell the devil, I'm through running for you. I'm through, you know, of being your errand girl or your errand guy. I'm finished. It's over. It's done with. And I'm starting a new life for 2017. I'm turning a new page in my life. The things that I used to do, I don't have a desire to do those things anymore. Places that I used to go, I will not be going those places anymore. Maybe you've been going to the topless bar. You've been going to the Jew joint. You know, you've been paying for these call girls. You don't have a desire to do those things anymore. Because God has changed your heart. He's changed your mind. Because when you have a mind change, it registers to your heart. So everything that goes to your head and your mind, it reaches to the heart. And that's the reason that God talks out through his word from the beginning of Genesis to its ending Revelation. Jesus talks about your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. Because he says only the pure in heart shall see him. So we know that if your heart is not clean, you and I and no one else will be able to see God. God will tell you on that day of judgment, depart from me, I never knew you. Your work was of iniquity. We don't want God to say those heart-wrenching words to us. You don't want God to tell you to get away from him because he never knew you. Because that means that you will not be spending eternity in heaven, but you will be spending eternity in hell. We have a witness there also. That's the rich man. The Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes. So we have witnesses. This is not a myth, but this is the truth. So help me, God, the truth and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. So we know that to fear God is to sense his awesomeness. When you and I and us, we acknowledge that greatness and trust in him. We no longer want to sin against him. He become our refuge from the fear of this world. In him, you and I can find peace. Fear him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you his service, your delight. Your wants shall be his care. Those who fear God need not to fear the world. So we're talking about running from God on this evening. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Jesus is calling on someone on tonight. He's wanted you to give your life to him. He said that it's time for you to stop running. And he cares for you. He's got a job for you. He's got a job for you to fulfill. God is going to put you on his payroll to be his hired help, to be his right-hand man in his vineyard. I'm encouraging you to stop running on tonight, to give God your heart. Give him all your cares and your ills and your wills. Hallelujah. For God cares for you. Hallelujah. We know that the Bible tells us in the law of Proverbs 12 and 22. It says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Proverbs 12 and 22. And so, you know that you can read about individuals that has been involved in an automobile accident, and here's some of the things that they have submitted to the insurance company. And one was that an invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my car and just vanished, was one individual wrote. Another one said that they had been driving for over 40 years, he fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident. Another one said that he pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at his mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. Another one said that the telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of his path when it struck my front end. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. And we know that this indirect cause of these accidents for a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. These excuses may bring a smile to some, probably meant to, but they also remind you and us how prone we are to shade the fact, especially when it works to yours and mine and our advantage. We know that in the law of Proverbs, tell us that lying lips are abomination to the Lord. So let you and us be careful at all times to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that deceit at first may have its sweets, but these are brief, decaying. So speak the truth as God directs. For all your words, he is weighing. We know that a lie is a coward's attempt to get out of trouble. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. The Bible tells us, he said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. 1 Peter 5 and 7. We find out that the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I'm God. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do on tonight. Stop running from God. And just be still and know that I am God. Paul exhorted the Philippians to be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. And Peter instructed his readers to cast all their cares upon God. You might ask, Overseer Warren, how can someone stop worrying and be still? Well, I want to encourage you on tonight that you can only do that through praying and through prayer and trusting in the love of God. Those who cast their cares on him, you can set aside the noise and the confusion, the ambitions, and the striving and enter into the peace of God. This doesn't mean that those who are still before the Lord will escape life dangers and dilemmas. That is not what we're saying. But it does mean that they will have the ability to live with tranquility in the midst of them. We know that though trouble may remain, the confusion and apprehensions and despair began to fade away. We know that such people show pause under pressure. They're unshaken by life's alarm. They radiate peace wherever they go. if you never acquainted yourself with the depths of God's love and his call for you to live in love, your life will be filled with anxieties and cares. You'll often be fretful and restless. So I'm encouraging you to always look for that elusive, something more. When you and I and us, when we learn to turn our confidence toward God and cast our cares on him, then you can be calm in the midst of life demands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that the words of God says that I love to dwell upon the thoughts that Jesus cares for you and I. It matters not what life may bring. He loves me tenderly. We know because God cares for you and us, we can leave our cares with him. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and improve your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are certainly encouraged to send your correspondent to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This spiritual church program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.JaniceWardMinistries.org. We're going to now bring you the second half of our program, and that is our Hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God. Buckle up with Jesus at your wheel, because in the year 2017, buckle up with Jesus at your wheel, because he is people friendly. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Can I feel a praise break? Because I